in my preparation this week, I came across a story that's a few years old now, but in 2008, Major Phil Packer was struck by a rocket blast while serving with the British Armed Forces in Iraq. He suffered major heart and spinal injuries, and those who tended to him immediately realized he was likely to be paraplegic and would never walk again. They told him so, and they were wrong. Just over a year later, a month or so after being given permission to begin working on walking with crutches, Packer completed the Flora London Marathon on his crutches. He started with everybody else in the crowd of runners and completed it 13 days later. He split it up into segments over 13 days, about 2 miles a day, totaling by the end of those 13 days, 52,400 steps. When you're told you'll never walk again, every step counts and is worth counting. And he wasn't doing it just for himself. He wasn't doing it just to prove that he could. He was doing it as a fundraising movement to donate money to Help for Heroes, a charity that cares for those injured in war. All total, he raised about $1.5 million to help injured veterans of war. And since that time has continued to do things no one else thought he would ever do again, as a way to draw attention to the needs and as a way of raising money for others. Climbing mountains, doing things, refusing to quit, determined to get to that finish line each time, settling for nothing less than giving everything he has to make a difference. Think about the level of determination it would take for me to do a marathon at all, much less to do a marathon on crutches, barely more than a year after being told you wouldn't walk again. Imagine the kind of commitment he made in giving effort 13 days in a row to see that finish line come into sight. What if we as God's people, across the board, demonstrated that level of commitment and determination to doing what God calls us to do, to being what God calls us to be? In essence, that's what Philippians 3 is calling us to. Paul is writing to a congregation that's special to him. They have been partners with him in ministry. They've been supportive of him in prayers and with finances. As you read the letter to the Philippians, it's one of the warmest letters in the New Testament, and a congregation with whom he had a good relationship. But it was church. And there were people in it, with all that that means. They had had a time of growth. They had accomplished things for the kingdom. And yet there were some cliques and some feuds and some rivalries. Some who thought they were superior to others and more important than others. They were church, with good and bad, successes and failures, faithfulness and failings. And Paul is writing them to encourage them to be focused, to be disciplined, to be ready to follow God's calling, to be wholeheartedly committed to the serving of Jesus Christ. And as he writes to them, he's calling them to a level of focus and discipline that he's trying to model for them. He shares a little bit about his own life. He knows there's a lot of things in this world we can spend our lives focused on. There's a lot of things we can do with our time, a lot of good things we can spend energy on. And Paul knew when it came to putting a resume together, as a Pharisee, he had perhaps as good a resume as anybody. He had worked hard, he had studied, he had been faithful. He had everything going that people thought was important. And then he met the risen Christ. And in retrospect, he says, all of the things I devoted my life to and thought were so important, I'm willing to leave behind because more important than anything else, I want to follow Jesus Christ. He knew there's a lot of things we can spend our life doing. And he's calling his readers, he's calling us to recognize that which must be our primary focus. And he reminds them of his example, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The imagery is of a high caliber runner, straining, pushing, pressing on towards the goal of the finish line. The word press on has the connotation of chase, of hot pursuit, hunting down. It's a word that invites us to think of strenuousness and determination. In the midst of preparing this, I confess, one day I was out walking my dog and caught scent of some things, and that dog took off until I clipped the leash on it. And I'm trying to pull Sammy back, and Sammy is pulling, and you can see almost every muscle straining to get towards the goose or the duck, or even late last night, a deer. Sammy, other than the fact I'm holding him back, was pulling with every ounce of his being to track what he wanted to get. Paul is saying, he's willing to leave behind that lengthy resume and strain and press and push for the one goal that matters in his life. And that goal, he says to us in this passage, is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. In his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Amidst all the things he could give his life to, all the good things, his goal in life, the center of his focus, is to know Christ. To know that Christ and his power that raised Christ from the dead. To be in a relationship with Christ, to know him in a way that communicates an intimate, connected relationship. And he's pursuing that goal with focus and determination. The Belmont Stakes was yesterday. If you watch horse racing, most of the horses have blinders on. Because they don't want the horses looking around. They want them focused on where they're going. Having had kids run track and cross country, how many times I've heard the coach say to them, don't look over your shoulder. Focus. Push. Don't stop looking forward till you get to the finish line. And Paul's drawing on these kinds of images. He's not talking about a casual jogger out looking at the world around. He's talking about a call to be so focused on following Jesus Christ that our lives are devoted to knowing Christ and then making him known to others. Paul was a prominent preacher, church starter, wrote letters to these churches. And yet Paul, for all that God had already done with him, wasn't going to grow content with anything less than becoming more like Jesus. I was struck by a quote from C.S. Lewis that I was reminded of again this week. He once wrote that we human beings are far too easily pleased. We fool about with little things like drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. Another minister sharing this quote said, maybe that we are too easily content with spam when there's free steak on the menu. We settle for less than what God wants us to experience in relationship with Him. We settle for less than what God, through the power of His Spirit, can do in our lives if we're wholeheartedly committed to Him. I once heard a pastor talk about a woman in his church who told him, "I don't want to get too close to God. I just want to be over in a corner and sneak into heaven quietly." Pastor said, "I can't believe what I'm hearing. Why do you say that?" She said, "Well, when I started high school, I really just wanted to get by with B's and C's. I didn't want to fail because then you have to repeat the grade, but I didn't want to do too well because then people start to expect something of you." I think of faith the same way. I don't want to go to hell. I want to get into heaven, but if I get too close to God, He'll send me to India, and I don't want that either. Now, we may not be quite that clear in the way we verbalize it, but I suspect that attitude is present in many of us. I want to give God enough to know He's there for me, but we struggle to fully let go of control and follow His call wherever it may be. We want to hold on to that which makes us comfortable, and we want to do enough to get by, but maybe not enough that God might send us somewhere we're not sure we're ready to go. Paul continues to hold up this example, striving, pulling, pushing, determined, and settling for nothing less than knowing God, the God who created us, the God who loves us, wants us to be known and to know Him and to be empowered by His Spirit that we celebrated at Pentecost, and to be empowered to do the work of Jesus in this world. And yet, how often we want to keep God at arm's length. Close enough to call on when we need Him, but far enough away that we're not pushed beyond what we're comfortable with. One of my favorite writers, Brennan Manning, tells of a man he knew for many years. He said, "The man refused to allow a cross or a crucifix in his home." Manning said it was not that he dismissed the truthfulness of Christianity, but he was a man of integrity, and listen to the way the man voices his thoughts. When asked why he wouldn't display a cross in his home, he said, "I can't stand the cross. It is a denial of all that I value in life. I'm a proud man. I seek pleasure. The cross reproaches me. It says, 'You're wrong. Your life must take this shape.' This is the only true interpretation of life, and life is true only in this form." Now, while we may be uncomfortable with what he voices, I'm struck by the integrity. He understood that if he commits himself to the cross, he's going to have to be changed, and he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to display a cross because he understood that the cross, the self-sacrifice of Jesus, calls him to a lifestyle he wasn't willing to accept. And at some level, we all have a choice to make. We all have a choice as to how we invest our time, our lives, our energy. Paul calls us to look at the competitive runner, the sprinter moving down the track, focused on the goal, distracted by nothing else, and being satisfied with nothing less than knowing Christ and being like Jesus. We read of the stories of Jesus, his teaching, his examples, loving the outsider, praying for those who condemned him, offering grace freely and loving even those no one else paid attention to. And we're called to strive to know Christ and let him shape us to be like Jesus. This is a call to all of us. To you as graduates, it's part of my call, my challenge to you. As you celebrate this accomplishment and move on to the next step, may God empower you and strengthen you as you get off to college and find all the many things that life holds. Don't forget that above all, we are called to follow Christ, to seek to know him, and to become like him. Our call is to invest ourselves wholeheartedly in knowing Christ and being like him. George Sweeting, retired president of Moody Bible Institute, tells the story of an Italian village where there's a statue of a Grecian maiden with a beautiful face, a graceful shape, a noble expression. The story goes that one day a poor house servant, a peasant girl, came by this statue and stopped and looked at it and stared at it at length. The beauty, the graciousness, stared at it and seemed to be absorbing it. That day she went home and washed her face, brushed her hair. The next day she went and stood in front of the statue and looked at it and absorbed it and went home and began to fix her tattered clothing. Day after day, she went out and studied this statue until over months upon months, people in the town began to notice this young peasant girl was looking more and more like the woman captured in the statue. She studied it, soaked it in, and began to look like the woman in the statue. We're given God's word, the story of the life of Jesus, and we're called to devote ourselves day by day to studying and absorbing the example of Jesus, that gradually over our lives we look more and more like him, that people might see Jesus in us. And this is the calling, Paul says, that ought to be the focus of our lives. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the example of Jesus. And we pray that you will help us to follow him, to seek him, to become like him. Give us discipline to spend time in your presence. Give us passion that settles for nothing less than Christ-likeness. Give us a commitment that hungers to know you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.